KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. Oh, a lot going on here. KVOE, live and local, 726, 36 degrees.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the morning primetime newsmaker.
We are live and we are local, and we're happy that you're with us on this Friday morning, and we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker via the KVOE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line by 17th District Senator Mike Argabright. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Ron and Chuck. I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you on with us here, Mike. It's been a busy time here for you guys. Typically it is, but you're hitting the milestone next week with Turnaround Week. What's your thoughts here as we get to essentially the second half of the legislative session underway now?
Well, Chuck, it's been more fast and furious than last year is how I would describe it. There was close to 700 bills introduced last year, and some were dealt with and some were not, and so those carried forward, plus all of the bills that were introduced this year, and I don't even know what that count is, but we found ourselves in a few committees hearing bills on the same day and working them later that day, and that's not a good practice, but that's how many bills are in front of us, and trying to give our due diligence to those that the committee chairs have approved to be heard and worked. And so coming to the end of the question that you said, it'll be interesting to see what moves through the Senate by the end of next week and what moves through the House, and therefore what we get to see from the House also. A lot going on there, it's kind of coming to an end on the first round.
Yeah, it has been happening. You mentioned it, Mike, fast and furious. There is no doubt about that. Well, let's talk first about what was, I guess, the major concern of many constituents, not only here. It was at the top of your constituents' list when we talked to you prior to the legislative session. That is taxes, property taxes. And I guess the House is looking at trying to move forward with a new plan to hold down property taxes with legislation intended to limit local government spending. Are you aware of that plan? And, of course, it hasn't gone to the Senate yet, but what do you think about that?
Ron, I was just reading up on that this morning on an article because I have not seen it. Just by word of mouth is all I've really heard on it. And I'm not on the Tax Committee in Senate either, but So I think the challenges that as I read this morning, will be the local control components and how do we balance that, and if we can balance that, that's going to be the challenge in my view. Those people were elected to do their role and as they see best fit, and if there's opportunity to put guardrails around that, that'll be the depth of the conversation. What do those guardrails look like?
Mike, too, before we start talking about maybe Senate efforts here to, you know, adjust the property tax side of things, conversation that's also kind of come up is to eliminate property taxes altogether by the end of next year and then replace that with a retail sales tax surcharge. When 60th District Representative Mark Shriver was on with us, his main concern was whether the retail sales can essentially go dollar for dollar and match what we're going to be losing in property taxes if this does move forward. Is that a concern for you, or do you have other concerns if that does go forward?
Chuck, that actually is in the Senate. I have not seen that bill. I don't know that how far that's moved in committee or if it's moved in committee. But I will respond to your question. I personally don't feel like you can eliminate property taxes, although I like the sounds of that, and I know many will. The three-legged stool, when things are good from a revenue standpoint, sales tax, income tax, so to speak, typically will do well. But when things aren't good, you have to have some type of a balance to make sure that we have the services in our counties and in our communities and statewide that our constituents expect, whether it's fire and law officers and those types of services. So I don't know that, in my perception, that you can eliminate property tax to answer your question, but we can sure make a lot of attempts to reduce it and level some things off. But that would be my perception, not knowing what the bill looks like completely at this point in time.
In 17th District, Senator Mike Argabright with us here on our primetime newsmaker, KVOE Live and Local. We appreciate the senator taking time to join us on our primetime newsmaker. Mike, I know that you've been hearing, or the Senate has been hearing from pharmacists advocating for industry pricing transparency that they say would help them stop filling a large percentage of prescriptions for free. There had been, I guess they'd said, over a dozen local pharmacies across the state that have closed in the past year. What are you hearing about this?
Ron, that's an area that does concern me, and that's that bill was heard in the Financial Institutes and Insurance, which I am on. That's because I'm on it, for one, but I know my colleagues are hearing a lot about that also. It did move through the committee on a split vote. We're basically talking about the pharmacy benefit managers, the PBMs, and I get hundreds of emails, to be quite honest, on this topic, and it and for those listening, it's titled as a pill tax and don't support a pill tax. And really what the information I think that they're getting is the dispensing fee that pharmacies charge, and if that fee is necessary or is it not necessary, and how does this bill address that? So I need to back up a little bit because this is a hot topic, and I appreciate you asking me. And I hope the full Senate gets to work this bill. That has not happened yet. And if it does, it'll be this week, because it's important to everyone that I talk to, because it affects our prescription prices. The PBM, the managers, are kind of the middle group that and what the bill addresses, and our efforts have been focused on transparency, are the rebates offered to all of our pharmacies, because right now they're not, and when they are at different levels, and that's what the transparency is trying to address, because at the end of the day, the constituents are the ones that need to benefit from this, and not big pharmacy, which is what's happening, and they're growing dollars in that arena. So the bill addresses the price spread issue, the rebate issues, and protecting patient choice. And the other side of that equation is putting that out there as a tax increase on prescriptions, and that's exactly what we're battling to offset for our constituents. And so I'm hoping people will bear with us and make sure they're asking the right questions and getting the right information, because we are going to bat for everyone, but that's not what some people are getting the word out, and it has to do with the dispensing fee. If there should be one, and what should it be, anywhere from zero to $15, I know it won't be at that point, and I think there'll be floor amendments on that. And we asked for more information on where that should be, if there should even be one. And we are all in favor of making that, as far as I know, as low as it can be without jeopardizing our pharmacists. Our pharmacists have brought this because of what you started off with. We're losing pharmacies across the state of Kansas, and some of it's because they're losing money on pills they dispense based on the rebates or lack of rebates. From PBMs. I hope I'm not confusing this. I'm trying to really, there's a lot of pieces to it, but at the end of the day, we are going to bat for our constituents, and the bill is a good bill. We have to work out the dispensing fee at the end of the day, and we will. We will. We will work on that very diligently.
17th District Senator Mike Argabright, our guest here on the Newsmaker segment at KVUE and KVUE.com. Switching less maybe to education funding, which seems to be a major talking point every session, but to education policy, it does seem like the conversations about a potential bell-to-bell cell phone ban for K-12 districts, obviously this is going to benefit more middle school or high schools more than maybe lower grades, but it seems like that's losing steam. And I had a chance to talk yesterday with North Lyon County Superintendent Bob Blair about other topics, but he made sure to mention that, you know, there's the concern about losing local control here when it comes to districts and policies like that, even though there are benefits to having a policy like that in place. What's your thoughts on having a bell-to-bell cell phone ban, and are we to the point now where we may be revisiting this next year and things this year just don't go forward?
Well, Chuck, I did visit with most all of the area superintendents, and it is a local control issue. That was what I brought up first when it came to our body or group. At the same time, it is a distractor, and it is affecting student learning. And I would support it. It did not get out of our education committee. The chair did not hear it, did not work it. We heard it, did not work it. There is one alive in the, I believe it's alive in the House. I'm not positive about that. So it still could resurface. And I think there's support for it. It's just a matter of what does it look like and what parameters are around it that intertwines local control with it. Some districts have already done it. They have the capability of doing it right now. And then some have partially implemented with some open areas around it. But what I will answer the question with is I think there's a pretty good consensus on the fact that that's a distractor for student learning. If it comes, I will probably support it depending on what the contents are in. It'll be interesting this week to see if that bill is still out there.
Yeah, and talking with local administrators, many schools already have some in play already here. It matters to what extent that is. Staying with the schools just for a moment, Mike, I know that parents, first responders, and educators have been urging lawmakers to possibly require schools to stock naloxone and provide fentanyl prevention education to prevent overdoses and deaths. It's a House bill. And I know with your education background, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would support that, Ron. I have not seen that yet. I think a lot of districts have already equipped their nurses with some of those processes to support the safety of our kids. Some maybe have not. The depth of that is what I'm not sure how to answer that, but I know that some of that's already out there. So yeah, that's an important piece, just for safety of our kids and not knowing what some kids may be exposed to and walk in the door with, and making sure that we can, especially in rural areas where you might be a 30-minute ambulance drive.
Yeah.
We have to be equipped for that. So I would support those efforts, not seeing the bill, and maybe there's some changes needed within a bill when you get to see it, but I would support that.
I believe that recently a Senate bill was introduced, changing topics here. I think it was Senate Bill 471 earlier this month. The bill, if approved in its current state, would bump the state's minimum wage to $16 an hour. Your thoughts on that, Mike?
Ron, I would be challenged to support that. Our small businesses, I haven't heard a lot from them yet, but I will. It would be a challenge for some of them to do that. And I don't want to harm our small businesses. I appreciate the effort. I think there's a lot of businesses already around that parameter, and I don't know what that range is when I say that, but to find workers, they're going to have to be in that arena to some degree already, but I would rather that be their choice so that they can make their business run properly.
Mike, before we wrap things up here, what do you see as developing here through turnaround week and really early after turnaround, specifically maybe some bills that would be affecting local entities here?
Well, Chuck, I think the big item is going to be our property tax, and we all agree we need to do something, but I'm not sure how we're going to come together in that manner and supporting a fair property tax initiative. So I think that's what you're going to hear the most on, because that's what people are concerned about, and we have some ideas out there that may grow stronger legs, so to speak. But at the end of the day, we need a fair tax plan that people understand and support. And that's going to be a challenge with that many lawmakers coming together and developing a plan that they feel is fair and can be implemented with a level of local control. That, there's some tough balancing pieces there, but that's I think is our biggest challenge without a doubt, and how we can come together and create a good plan.
Well, still a lot of work to get done. I know that you'll be attacking it with all of the fervor that you can, Mike, and we, as always, appreciate your time.
Ron, thank you. I will tell you, our constituents have been really engaged. I think my email has doubled, and I've seen a lot of people in the Capitol this year. I really appreciate that. It's good to get the grassroots of people and what their priorities are. And when they take the time to do it, I really appreciate that. It's a privilege to serve, and I appreciate the engagement that we get.
Appreciate your time, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That is 17th District State Representative, or State Senator, I should say, Mike Argabright. 17th District State Senator Mike Argabright with us on our primetime Newsmaker. Chuck?
Okay, really quickly, next week's Newsmaker spots are almost full. The only available date is the 18th, so Wednesday. If you want it, call us, let us know. Monday, we'll have ESU Director of Bands Gary Zeke Wind Ensemble Concert, which is Wednesday, the preview on Monday.
And primetime Newsmaker here on a Friday, 7:43, 36 degrees. Stay tuned. The weekend weather next.
Mark Sugar Schaefer out here at John North Ford Nissan, home of honest, transparent pricing.